Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, February 19th, President's Day. This is Susan Over. We will begin this part of our reading with Normal to approve Rivian abatement. Rivian Automotive has invested at least $500,000 in the former Mitsubishi Motors North American plant in Normal and qualified for the first year of a promised five-year property tax abatement. Local officials say paving the way for two taxing bodies to officially sign off this week. The Normal City Council and McLean County Board each will consider abatements when they meet tonight at 7 p.m. and at 9 a.m. tomorrow Tuesday, respectively, after town and county staff members toured the plant and received private documentation about Rivian spending at the facility. The company also was required to buy that plant, which it did in January, to receive abatements from every property taxing body tied to the plant except cash-strapped Drive Grove Township. Normal estimated its tax abatements are worth $107,200 this year, $74,900 due to the town, and $32,300 due to Normal Public Library. The county did not yet have an estimate when Assistant County Administrator Don Knapp wrote a memo to the board about the abatement on February 8th. McLean County Unit 5 School District, which gets the majority of property taxes from the plant, has not yet approved an abatement. Heartland Community College has not approved an abatement, but could in March, said Vice President of Business Services Doug Minter. Rivian plans to employ 1,000 workers and invest $175 million at the plant by 2024. Under the incentive deal, the company is required to employ 500 and invest $40.5 million by 2021. The town also has pledged to give Rivian a $1 million grant after the company invests $20 million in the plant. The state will rebate to Rivian up to $49.5 million in income tax. The Michigan-based electric car startup bought the plant to serve as a center of its manufacturing. Rivian plans to lease a five-passenger truck in 2020. It was covered up. Then a seven-passenger sport utility vehicle. The company has also hired more than a dozen local employees and several executives, including Rivian CFO Ryan Green, a former CFO of Harley-Davidson's financial services company in North America. Other executives work for AM General, Ford, Jaguar Land Rover, McLaren, and Nissan. The City Council meets on the fourth floor at Uptown Station. The County Board meets in Room 400 at the Government Center, located at 115 East Washington Street in Bloomington. In other business, the Council will consider a 0.64% raise for non-contract employees effective April 1, affecting 247 employees and costing the town $162,000. Members of Normal's firefighter and police unions get 2.75% and 2.85% annual raises, respectively. A $47,000 contract with Florida-based Sports Facilities Advisory to study a potential Twin City outdoors sports complex over the next 3 months. Officials hope that complex will be a viable option for economic development and to replace community fields. And last, amending the town's liquor code to allow hotels and restaurants to begin serving alcohol at 9 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Golf courses may currently serve at 7 a.m. The town allows packaged liquor sales at that time. Most Bloomington establishments can begin serving alcohol at 6 a.m. daily. The change also will allow restaurants with video gambling to start offering that service at 9 a.m. versus 11 a.m. for establishments with only video gambling. End of article. Early voting begins tomorrow. Bloomington. Early voting for the March 20th primary begins tomorrow, Tuesday. After a two-week delay, the Bloomington Election Commission and McLean County Clerk's Office will offer ballots at 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., weekdays through March 9th. The Bloomington Election Commission handles voting for city residents, and the clerk's office handles voting for residents of all other areas in the county, including Normal. Both election offices are in the Government Center, 115 East Washington, Bloomington, in rooms 403 and 102, respectively. After March 9th, downtown hours are 8:30 a.m. to noon, March 10th, 10 till 4, March 11th, 8:30 to 7, March 12th to the 16th, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. March 17th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on March 18th, and 8:30 in the morning till 7 p.m. on March 19th. Early voting also will be offered at Illinois State University's Bones Student Center, located at 100 North University Street in Normal, in the Founders Suite. Hours are 10 a.m. there till 5 p.m., March 5th to 9th, and March 12th to 16th. End of article. CEO Headlines Business Week. The president and CEO of Progressive Insurance will be the keynote speaker during Illinois State University Business Week, which runs through Friday. Tricia Griffith has been with that company since 1988, starting as a claims representative, and was named CEO in July 2016. She will speak on leadership principles at 3:30 p.m. this Thursday in the Center for the Performing Arts on the Normal campus. Her talk is free and open to the public. Griffith, who received a bachelor's degree at ISU in 1986, also is a graduate of the Wharton School of Business Advanced Management Program. Fortune magazine named her one of the 50 most powerful women in business in 2016. She has held several leadership positions at Progressive, including Group President of Claims, Personal Lines Chief Operating Officer, and President of Customer Operations. Her address is part of the ISU Spring Speaker Series. Other events during Business Week include a professional development and etiquette dinner, seminars on transitioning from college to the work world, and a discussion on diversity, which will include interactive breakout sessions with remarks by Anise Wiley Little, Chief Human Capital and Diversity Officer of Kellogg School of Management. Six ISU graduates will be inducted into the College Business Hall of Fame this Thursday. The inductees are Corey Feringal, Class of 93, Executive Chair and CEO of Magnetic, a digital advertising firm. Zach Forch, Class of 83, Partner at RSM, fifth largest accounting, tax, and consulting firm in the U.S. Joe Reynolds, Class of 2003, Founder and Co-CEO of Red Frog Events, an award-winning events production company. Kelly Smith, Class of 81, Principal of Chicago-based Kensington Realty Advisors, a commercial real estate investment management company. Nancy Svoboda, Class of 86, Executive Vice President, Human Resources for the Denver Broncos football team. And last, Jeff Wilson, Class of 88, Senior Vice President, Head of Total Rewards, Toronto Dominion Bank Group. End of article. YWCA hopes to build awareness. Circle of Women, YWCA McLean County's annual fundraiser luncheon will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. this Friday at the Doubletree by Hilton, located at 10 Brickyard Drive in Bloomington. Each year, hundreds of women gather to raise money for YWCA programs and services. Last year, attendees raised more than $60,000. This year's goal is to exceed $80,000. Quote, "The power women have in this community is enormous," said Kristen Kubch, Circle of Women Planning Committee Chair. "It is fundraising events such as Circle of Women, which help the YWCA McLean County continue to exist and support our community. The power of giving is what makes this event a success." End quote. During the event, honorary co-chairs Mandy Dart and Felicia Shaw will spotlight programs and services offered through YWCA and the impact they have on the community. Highlighted programs will include adult services, empowerment and prevention services, mission impact, and Young Wonders Early Learning and Youth Development. A goal of that event is to inspire the community to support YWCA's mission to eliminate racism, empower women, and promote peace, justice, freedom, and dignity for all. During the luncheon, attendees can participate in the personality raffle, which features purses and bags filled with items from local establishments. For more information on the event or to make a reservation, you may call Brandy Kimball at 309-662-0461. 309-662-0461, extension 298, or email ywdevelopment@ywcaamclean.org. ywdevelopment@ywcaamclean.org. End of article. On duty, National Guard, Matthew Garrison. Matthew D. Garrison of Chicago, formerly from Carlock, has been promoted to Lieutenant Colonel of the Illinois Army National Guard. That ceremony was held February 11th at the Armory in Urbana. He is the son of David and Rita Garrison of Carlock. He serves full-time at the Armory with the 33rd Infantry Brigade Combat Team. Matthew Garrison is a 1996 graduate of Normal Community West High School. Garrison and his wife Magdalena are parents of Alyssa and Jacob. End of article. Public safety, home invasion. A Bloomington man remains in McLean County Jail in lieu of posting $2,035 in bond on several charges, including home invasion and battery. In a probable cause statement, prosecutors say police were called for safety reasons during a property pickup exchange between Darwin Stokes, 37, and a female at a Bloomington residence. Hours later, police were called back to that scene after they learned the defendant returned. Police say witnesses reported Stokes kicked his way back into the residence, causing damage to the door, which also injured the victim. When officers attempted to arrest him, prosecutors say he resisted on several occasions. He was charged with criminal trespass to a residence, criminal damage to property, 2 counts of battery, 2 counts of resisting arrest, and 2 counts of home invasion causing injury. Darwin Stokes is due back in court for arraignment March 1st and is to have no contact with the victim or at the residence. Area calendar, Monday. Registration taken. Upcycle book clocks, 10 a.m. March 8th and 6 p.m. March 13th. That is a Thursday and a Tuesday. At Normal Public Library, age 15 and up. You must register, and you do that at normalpl.org. normalpl.org. Registration taken, basic computer skills for beginners, 6 p.m. March 1st, 8th, 22nd, and 29th. The 1st and 8th are Thursdays, so are the 22nd and 29th. Bloomington Public Library Community Room. It is a 4-session class. You may call 309-828-6093 at the Adult Services Desk. 309-828-6093. End of article. Volunteers weave items for abused women and children. Normal. Comforting those who have experienced domestic violence is just as important as putting an end to the problem. That was the belief of several women who broke out their needles and yarn for several hours on Saturday to knit and crochet hats and scarves for women and children who have been abused. The Normal Public Library hosted that second annual Scarves of Strength event, collecting items to donate to Neville House, a McLean County agency which assists victims of domestic violence. The library is collecting donations of knitted and crocheted items through the end of the month. Quote, there was this need for people to feel like they can do something to help. You can use your talent to make a difference in someone's life, said Lisa Nuffman, library assistant at Normal Public Library. Each handmade item donated to the cause was paired with a comforting message for the recipient. Sister, you have been given a scarf of strength, a gift from strangers to let you know you are not alone. Every stitch is bound with thoughts of you to help you give you strength in your time of need. Wear it with confidence that you are cherished. Nuffman said that goal is to remind victims they have support in the community. We want them to know their voice matters. We are here to support them, even if it is just through a handmade scarf, she said. Nancy Anderson of Normal unraveled a ball of hot pink glittery yarn to crochet into a slouchy hat. She said the idea of supporting women through gestures of kindness is needed. You can donate money and take action through the government to stop this. But after that, the item might give someone an idea that, okay, I can get through it, said Anderson. I think people will soon find out the importance of women. A thick red scarf gradually formed in the lap of Claire Jahnke of Normal. She joined the cause in honor of her late grandmother, who made baby blankets for mothers in abusive relationships. It was a cause important to her, so now it is important to me, said Jahnke. I hope whoever receives this knows it was made with love. If it offers them any amount of comfort in a difficult time, that makes me happy. Kim Tingley of Normal also worked away on a soft blue scarf to donate on Saturday. It is something I really enjoy doing, and I want women at the Neville House to know people are thinking of them and they are connected to a larger community, she said. The issue of domestic violence is one that needs more attention, said Tingley. It is hard to keep the issue in the public eye because too often the women who experience it feel shame or feel alone. Despite that, we should reach out and offer support to them while respecting that line of anonymity, said Tingley, end quote. If anyone is in need of an emergency shelter or counseling, they can call a 24-hour confidential hotline for the Neville House Domestic Violence Shelter. Call 309-827-7070. 827-7070. The McLean County Domestic Violence Legal Advocacy Unit can help victims of domestic violence pursue orders of protection and provide legal advocacy. You may call 309-888-5521. 888-5521. End of article. Police: young driver at fault in bus crash. Bloomington. A 17-year-old driver who disregarded a stop sign has been issued a ticket after his car collided with a school bus earlier in the week. The juvenile's name was not released because of his age. Illinois State Police at Pontiac, which released its accident report Saturday morning, said the juvenile, the bus driver, and three juveniles on the bus were hospitalized. The accident happened last Wednesday about 4 p.m. at the intersection of U.S. Route 150 and Abraham Road near Evans Junior High School. That bus was carrying 47 children who attend the school. The police report said the juvenile was driving south on Abraham Road and failed to stop at the intersection. His car hit the eastbound school bus in the front left, causing the bus to overturn. End of article. local residents caught in immigration debate. 70-year green card wait has Indian natives living in uncertainty. Thousands of people from India living legally in the Twin Cities, working, attending school, and doing volunteer work are caught in the complex immigration debate. A result for them could be they need to leave the country within 30 days if they were to lose their jobs. That is because they are here on work and dependent visas. Even though they have applied for green cards, there is a 70-year, backlog for employment-based immigrants from India getting their cards. Quote, "We are living in an uncertainty," said Ravi Bhogavarapu, 40. He moved to Bloomington in 2004 on a work visa and has been living here ever since, working as a contract employee at State Farm. He applied for a green card or permanent residency in 2009. "Since then, we are waiting," he said. He knows of other people waiting longer. "Our applications have been approved, but because of a lack of availability of green cards, we have to wait," Bhogavarapu said. "We never know what will happen with our lives," said Kalyani Amaravati, 35, who lives in Bloomington with her husband Shyam, 42, and their children, Anisha, 13, and Animish, 7. Shyam also came here as a contract employee at State Farm, and Kalyani and Anisha are on dependent visas. Anisha was 5 months old when her parents moved to Bloomington Normal. Animish is an American citizen because he was born here. "We came here legally, have been law-abiding, and paid taxes like any American," Bhogavarapu said. "We are waiting patiently for so many years." "I think it's unfair," Anisha said in the family's Bloomington home. "I am doing everything like an American, but because I do not have a green card because of the backlog, I'm considered international, even though I have lived in this country nearly all of my life." In Bloomington Normal itself, 3,000 people are affected by this, Bhogavarapu estimated. Nationwide, about 1.5 million skilled immigrants from India are stuck in the green card backlog. Why don't the 3,000 just apply for citizenship? "Without that green card, we cannot apply for citizenship," said Bhogavarapu, adding he and the Amaravati family want to stay here and contribute to society. Shyam Amaravati came to Bloomington Normal on a work visa, his wife on a dependent visa in 2004, returned to India in 2010, then returned to Bloomington on a work visa with the same company in 2014. He applied for a green card again in 2016. The U.S. issues 1 million green cards each year. They are distributed in different categories, such as employment-based, family-based, and diversity-based. Of the 1 million, 14% go to employees and their family members. Each country has a cap of 7%, meaning 5,600 green cards are allocated each year to employment-based applicants from each country, Bhogavarapu said. The 5,600 applies regardless of the size of the country, meaning a populous country like India is allocated the same number of green cards as a smaller country. So while the U.S. receives more than 100,000 green card applications every year from people from India working here and awards 5,600, smaller countries may have only 50 applicants, but the number of green cards reserved for them remains at 5,600. The result is the wait time for people from India who work in the U.S. to get a green card is now 70 years. Meanwhile, working applicants from the Philippines wait about 6 years, applicants from China wait 4, and people from most other countries wait less than a year. "We feel that is unfair," said Bhogavarapu, adding that background checks already are completed for work on people on work visas, so security is not the issue. Meanwhile, people here on work visas are contributing to the economy, paying taxes, and involved in their community, he and the Amaravati family said. Bhogavarapu attends the Hindu temple and is involved with various associations. Kalyani teaches music, does volunteer work at Colleen Hoos Elementary School, where Animish is in second grade, and with 4-H, where Anisha is a member of the Metal Cow 4-H Club. Anisha, an eighth grader at Chittick's Junior High, is involved with art. Animish plays chess, but the problem is not just waiting. If Bhogavarapu or Amaravati were to lose their jobs, they would need to leave the country in 30 days, which is why the Amaravati family rents rather than owns their home. If they change jobs, they need to start the green card process all over again. People without a green card cannot start their own business. Anisha, unless she gets her own work visa through a lottery system, will need to leave the country at age 21. Kalyani, as a dependent, cannot have a full-time job, even though she has a master's degree in business administration. Anisha, when she goes to college, will need to pay tuition and fees as an international student, even though she has lived in the U.S. nearly all her life. She won't be eligible for financial aid because she does not have a social security number. Some colleges will not accept her application because she is not a permanent resident. I want to be a doctor or an engineer, she said. I don't know whether I will be able to do that. We want to give more to this country, but we are not allowed to do so because we don't have a green card, Kalyani said. One solution would be to remove country quotas in the employment-based category without increasing the overall number of green cards, allowing green cards not used by people from smaller countries to be used by people from more populous countries, removing the dependent count from the employment category, and increasing the percentage of employment-based green cards from 7%. Legislation calling for some of these changes has been introduced in the U.S. House and Senate. Republican Congressman Rodney Davis has signed on as a co-sponsor. U.S. Senators Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth did not respond to a Pantograph request to discuss that legislation, but they are open to it, Amaravati said. GOP Congressman Darren LaHood said, "There is no question our immigration system is broken. I stand committed to making sure that individuals looking to make a better life for themselves and their families can do so efficiently and legally. Congress is currently debating the best way to accomplish this, but reforms which serve those who play by the rules are necessary to build a better workforce and stronger America. We are happy they are fixing DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals," Shyam said, "but we want them to fix the problems of legal immigrants also." End of article. Flick, a rare jewel at Jewel. It is a snowy, windy weekday, morning in the midst of winter's grasp. The roads are slick, cars are starting to slide, the plows are out. Barbara Brandt, she is already at work. "Oh, a day like today wouldn't keep me away. Quote, it is not that bad out," she says. Stationed behind her register at a Jewel Osco store along Veterans Parkway at College Avenue in Normal, Barbara is a checker. In the next line is another, probably in her late 20s, early 30s max. On the other side in the self-checkout lane is another upper 20-something, not Barbara. Her grandchildren are younger. Barbara turned 88 on Thursday. For her, this is just another day in a life that includes a love of work, of staying busy, active, social, and in life's loop, of continuing to get a paycheck, even if others her age retired a good quarter century ago. Quote, "Others on a snowy day like today might be a little late," says her boss, Chris Campesino, the store manager. "But there's Barbara, right on time. She doesn't bat an eye." Affable, calm, laid-back Barbara begins each checkout with a good morning and then a how are you, or did you find everything you wanted, quote, end quote. As she parcels and passes through her register, the dishwashing liquid the Campbell's soup and the Lay's chips, a bit of conversation might occur, spiced with a bit of wisdom or whimsy, or simple back-and-forth chatter about the yo-yo-like temperament of winter. Those who might give her a bit of grief. At this time, we will take a short break.